Right, well, good morning, everybody. The title of this message this morning is called Truth, and I'd just like to start with a bit of scripture from John 17, verses 14 to 19. Jesus is praying to his Father here. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today to be reminded of the truth of your word, Lord, and our responsibility as believers to speak the truth in a world that really is not interested in the truth. But Lord, you know men's hearts, and you know that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that your truth will prevail and lives will be changed. Your truth will set people free. It does set people free. It has set people free. And we thank you, Lord, for the part that we play in furthering that understanding to the people that we come into contact with. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I refer to this all the time, and I do apologize. Is this microphone a bit loud? I kind of hear myself too much. I don't know. But I'm an English teacher. I am currently in my 39th year of teaching. I always think that's such an amazing thing, because there aren't that many teachers around that have been teaching. Well, any longer now. There used to be, but now, in this day and age, there aren't that many people around me who have been teaching for as long as I've been teaching. But as an English teacher, I have obviously spent a lot of time reading. And over the years and over my lifetime, I've read a lot of fiction. And I think I've become lazy in later life. I have to kind of admit to that. I get home from work and I'm not always wanting to read things, but I have watched probably more in recent years. I've been watching more dramas on television than I ever had time to do before when I was raising a family. And as I reflect on the plots and the characters in a wide range of novels and that I've read and films and miniseries that I've watched, I feel that there's a clear pattern that emerges, regardless of sort of the storyline, regardless of the genre, and that is that people lie. They lie to themselves, they lie to people who trust them, they work for organizations that lie. Occasionally, in fiction and in real life, there will be a lone voice, what we today refer to as a whistleblower, who sees the lies for what they are and wants to expose them. They're not comfortable living knowing that the truth is not being told. And often these people who are brave enough to speak the truth are then targeted by those who cannot afford for the truth to be known. Threats to personal safety can be so terrifying that those who know the truth choose not to come forward at all for fear of their own lives. In 2016, the Oxford Dictionary's word of the year was post-truth. This was the year that the UK voted to leave the EU. It was also the year that Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign was purportedly sabotaged by Russia's intelligence agency with a systematic hacking of Democratic Party emails. Damaging information gleaned from those emails was leaked into the public arena, which eroded voter confidence in both the party, the Democratic Party, and their presidential candidate, clearing the way for the election of the Republican candidate, Donald Trump. Voters, citizens, people in general seem no longer to be interested in what is true. Post-truth describes a condition where people believe what appeals to their emotions and their own personal truth. Now, we're now nearly a decade down the road from 2016. The barriers to truth have become even more complex and more deeply entrenched than they were 10 years ago. Man's capacity for ignoring, manipulating, and distorting truth goes right back to Genesis chapter 3, which I will come to in a sec. What has changed in recent times is the ever-increasing sophistication of the tools for spreading lies and deception that's been made available through modern information technology. Tools that are at the disposal of individuals, as well as businesses, organizations, and governments. We actually live in an age where information can be contaminated and altered in convincing and persuasive ways. If post-truth citizens feel an emotional connection to what they're hearing or seeing, then they're very likely to believe that it's true. If this information confirms their own belief system, or confirms as true something that they would like to believe is true, then they are likely to believe what they are reading, seeing, or hearing. It really does not matter whether it is actually true or not. As 21st century Christians, we see around us a world that echoes the condition of Israel presented in Judges. Summarized in the last verse of the book, we read from Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. If we go back to the beginning of Genesis, I feel like most of what I say goes right back to Genesis, we are reminded that all of God's creation was good, and God and man interacted harmoniously in the Garden of Eden. The only restriction placed on Adam and Eve in an otherwise free, peaceful, good world was to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God was clear about what was required. My voice is big enough. God was clear about what was required, as well about the consequences should Adam and Eve choose to ignore his instructions. In three short sentences, Satan discredits God. I haven't posted these up here, but you know the story. He says to Eve, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat every tree of the garden?'" Sentence number one. "You will not surely die." Sentence number two. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Sentence number three. In these three sentences, Satan plants seeds of doubt in the minds of Adam and Eve about God's motives and his trustworthiness. Satan uses deceitful language to present God as a liar. The father of lies contaminated the truth of God and promised Adam and Eve that by eating the fruit of this tree, they would have the power to decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. The closing words of Judges summarizes the state of play for human behavior when individuals choose to rely on their own understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, rather than choosing and submitting to God and his will as a supreme and perfect truth. When Paul writes to the church in Rome, he admonishes the people there in Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds, our perceptions, our frames of reference have to be transformed from the world's way of functioning, that is, when everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes, and be renewed in order to recognize the sovereignty of God, who alone holds the truth and perfect will for our existence here on this earth. I think it's easy to forget that as believers, we are part of a very real battle that Satan has waged against God since the beginning of time. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Satan's ability to lie, to twist and distort truth in order to discredit God and lure mankind to serve anything other than the one true and living God is so expert that any of us could find ourselves sucked in by his deceit if we're not vigilant. As the Lord prepares the children of Israel for finally entering the promised land, he tells them in Deuteronomy 11:16, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." God warns the children of Israel of the vulnerability of their hearts. Our hearts are the seat of our emotions. Remember that in this post-truth mindset, we believe that if it feels good and if it seems right, then it must be true. But our hearts can so easily be deceived. I was a faithful, committed, practicing Christian when I believed lies that had been presented to me as truths by people I felt I could trust. Now, as with Joseph, when his brothers sold him into slavery, I'm now confident that God turned to good in my life what others had intended as evil. But it's made me very sensitive to the fact that my heart can be deceived, and I need to guard it. John writes in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, it might be easy to view this verse as being relevant only to sort of sifting out false spiritual teaching from good spiritual teaching, but I feel that the application is actually much wider than that. The world is filled with confident prophetic voices, which are very likely fueled by the spirits referred to in the verse from Ephesians 6 that we read a few minutes ago. In every aspect of our lives, we must learn to test the spirit behind the information that we are entertaining. Is it true to God's word and character or not? And when we speak, Rob touched on this a little bit earlier, we must be equally cautious that we are speaking truthfully. We're told in Matthew 5:37, "But let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one." It seems that this verse is suggesting that we need to speak in a way that doesn't offer ourselves loopholes or little get-out clauses or little fudges of white lies to protect our image or the feelings of other people. As Christians, we must be truth-tellers at all cost. But in order to do that, we must know what the truth actually is. The truth of God's kingdom is that we have been created for eternal life, and our access to that eternal life is through the only true God, which we have access to only through His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent to reconcile us to His Father, our Creator. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then again in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Upon his ascension into heaven, Jesus left us with the task of telling others the truth about God and how we as humans can be restored to a right relationship with him. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We must bring the light of truth into the darkness, even if our words are rejected. Paul speaks from his own experience in Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If we are truly a bondservant of Christ, our loyalty is to Him. We are not here to please people. We are tasked to be faithful to Christ and to the truth of His work on our behalf. Now, Jesus knows the challenges that we face. He knew the challenges faced by the saints that have gone before us. And He reminds us that the Spirit of God in us is greater than the spirit of this world. 1 John 4, verses 4 to 6, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now we're told not to be surprised when we are discredited, belittled, or dismissed. Or, as for Christians in cultures and countries that are more hostile to the Christian message, even physically and mentally tortured. There might come a day in our lifetime, here in this country, where, as Christians speaking God's truth, we could be accused of committing hate crimes, of propagating extremism, and of being radicals. We could be condemned as perpetrators of crimes against humanity or against the state. The stakes are real and scary. But again, we're told, Matthew 5:11-12, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we speak the truth in this world that doesn't want to hear it, God promises to take responsibility for our protection. His protection offers us peace amidst these trials, because He's already victorious. We need to remember this. He's already victorious over the lies that we are exposing when we speak the truth about Him. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. No matter what might lie ahead for believers in a world where distortion of truth prevails, We must not cower in fear. We must remember that our souls are eternally safe in Him. There is nothing that man can do to us that we will not recover from. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And a good favorite, Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's essential in this battle that we are armed with the truth. We must immerse ourselves daily in God's word. Everything we need for life and godliness is there. 2 Timothy 3:16, we use this often in our messages here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If we do not know God and His word, then we will not be confident in recognizing lies and deception in the world around us. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 14 to 15, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. I think our 21st century is unique insofar as the trickery of man is getting harder and harder to identify. Information today is subject to so many different agendas and can be manipulated and distorted easily to con us into believing that it is true. It is only God's truth that can protect us from the dangers of a world where people are doing what they believe is right in their own eyes. Thankfully, we have armor that we have been given to protect us in this battle that we are engaged in. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I just want to point out with that, the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate protects the heart. Our hearts are good. We know we've been given a new heart. We've been given a clean heart. But our hearts are susceptible to deception. And without the protection of Christ's righteousness, not our goodness, not our doing the right thing, not anything to do with us, but the gift of righteousness that Christ has provided for us, without that protection, our hearts are vulnerable. And we can get sucked in to untruths that can be very dangerous, both to ourselves and to people around us. But I want to close with a really important reminder. We must speak the truth, but we are instructed to speak the truth with love, in that Ephesians reference earlier. Our job is to speak the truth and to love the people who are trapped in the darkness of Satan's lies. No matter how badly they might be behaving, no matter how badly they might treat us, our job is not to judge them. We are God's representatives on earth, and we must live out in our daily lives the love and forgiveness that He has extended to us. Paul, once again writing to the church in Rome, says, Romans 12:17 to 19, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that your ultimate judgment will happen. We know that every human being has been given an opportunity to make a choice to have you as God of their life or to live their lives doing what is right in their own eyes. We understand, Lord, that it's not our role to judge people. It's not our role to mete out punishments. It's our role to be truthful, to speak your words of truth into this world, into the lives of people that you bring along our path. It's our responsibility to demonstrate love to people. And often these are people that are very difficult to love, and we understand that. But Lord, your truth is the light in the darkness. Your truth is the only hope for people who are trapped in the bondage of Satan's lies. I pray that we all have confidence and courage as we go forward into our daily lives, knowing that although it's hard and although we can be ridiculed and although we might feel humiliated or discredited, that we need to be courageous in speaking your truth and loving the people that we are speaking it to. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We know that without you working within us, we could achieve nothing. I ask, Lord, that you just take these words and bless it to the heart of everybody who's heard, Lord, that they can make use of this message in their daily life and that they can know that they are safe in you and we have eternal security because you have told us that this is true. In Jesus' name, amen.